This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Inflation and rising food prices have hit all of us, but the increases have been especially challenging for low-income seniors who don't get much assistance from the government. A senior farmers market nutrition program aims to help by making it more affordable for low-income seniors to get fresh fruits and vegetables they can't afford otherwise. Joining me now to discuss the program and other options available for seniors in Southwest Ohio are Miami University's Scripps Gerontology Center Associate Director of Research and Senior Research Scholar, Jennifer Heston Mullins, Ph.D. Welcome, Jennifer. And Council on
Aging. Thank you very much.
Sure. Thanks for being here. And Council on Aging of Southwestern Ohio Nutrition Business Relations Partner, Natasha Webker. Thanks for being here, Natasha.
Thank you so much, Lucy. I'm happy to be here.
Great to have you. Miami University and Council on Aging are financial supporters of Cincinnati Public Radio. We'd like to hear from you, too. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk at wvxu.org. And we'd especially like to hear from you if you are a senior who's kind of struggling with your grocery bill, or maybe if you have a parent or relative who's feeling the pinch of these higher prices. Jennifer, start by explaining how big a problem have food prices been for seniors when you're kind of surveying the landscape and just how tough inflation's been for everybody.
You know, that's something that really does vary based on what they have available to them from their income, from Social Security. But in general, for a lot of folks, this has been a really challenging time. Prices have gone up for everyone in terms of groceries. But, you know, we're finding that in Ohio in particular, there's around 10% of people that are older adults over age 60 that are at poverty level or below. And some of these assistance programs are certainly at a little bit more than poverty level to qualify. But that's still a pretty good chunk of older adults who are struggling with this in our country and in Ohio in particular.
Sure. And I imagine that can lead to some tough choices when budgeting, when you're having to figure out, okay, what can I afford at the grocery store versus my prescription medication versus, you know, transportation costs. How tricky is that balancing act?
It can be very tricky. And, you know, certainly we talked about the farmers market, which we'll be discussing. And as we know from being in the grocery stores ourselves, that you know, the food that is cheaper is not always the freshest food or the, you know, vegetables and fruits and the things that are healthiest for us. And so we often fall back on things that are much cheaper, easier to prepare, that don't require a lot of effort. And those, you know, aren't necessarily the greatest for our health.
Right. And Jennifer, we hear a lot about the importance of nutritious food for growing children, but how important is nutritious food for older adults, too?
Oh, very important. And it's something that can affect, you know, our mental status in terms of how clear we feel about things. It can interact with medication sometimes if we have poor nutrition status. And so it's just as important, if not more important, for older adults that they have a good nutrition status and kind of a way of kind of feeling good each day based on the food that they're taking in.
Natasha, we talked a little bit at the beginning of this about this farmers market. Tell us about this program. What is this Senior Farmers Market Nutrition Program and how does it work?
So the Seniors Farmers Market Nutrition Program is a USDA grant-funded program that allows individuals that are at least 60 years old or older that live within the five-county region, so that's Hamilton, Warren, Butler, Claremont, and Clinton County, and meet those 185% of the federal poverty level guidelines, $50 worth of coupons to spend at local participating farmers markets. So if they're eligible, they can receive these $50 coupon vouchers and they can go out to the farmers markets and they can access these fresh fruits and vegetables. So this program is really trying to target those lower income populations because as we've known, and there's research to back this up, that there's a disparity between low-income and high-income individuals. And so we're really trying to target those lower-income individuals because we know that those lower-income individuals can have a higher rates of chronic diseases, mental health problems, and increased mortality risks. So to help manage these chronic diseases, you know, we want to make sure that they're eating an adequate amount and also having access to fresh fruits and vegetables. And I just want to piggyback on something that Jennifer had mentioned and how important it is for nutrition in older adults is that, you know, they're at higher risk for malnutrition as well. So we really want to make sure, you know, the ones that are struggling, especially with the recent cut in their EBT, you know, that they're not going to get enough calories and protein and fruits and vegetables and all those things that help them to stay healthy and to stay strong as they age. So I think it's really important that we focus in on making sure that we have better access, especially during these times.
Let's talk more about that cut to SNAP benefits, because that there were these additional SNAP benefits that people were getting in the earlier months of the pandemic that really were a godsend for so many people. And then the cuts just took effect, was it last month or the month before? I believe it was in March, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was in March.
And that hit families, but it hit some senior individuals in a very dramatic fashion. What have you been hearing from Council on Aging clients about that cut?
It's really interesting that you do bring that up, because during the months of April and May, we've been hosting these coupon distribution events where we've been able to interact with the seniors in the community, and they've been able to come out and apply and get their coupons the same day. And so many of them just tell us what a godsend this has been and how much this has really helped them in supplementing, you know, the food that they currently are trying to receive, and that this program has just been nothing but good for them, and that they look forward to it every single year. So
yeah, and this $50 worth of coupons, is that $50 to kind of cover the whole summer? How does that work in terms of the amount of coupons and how long they have to use those?
Yeah, the $50 is for the growing season, so it runs from about we hand them out in April, but most of our farmers markets start to open up and get really good produce in by June and July, and then they just spend them before October 31st. And then along with that, they can use them on fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, fresh cut herbs, and honey as well are the eligible items that they can use the coupons on.
And you mentioned the percent of poverty or percent of income that folks are to qualify this. My understanding is that the annual income has to be at or below like $26,973 for a household of one or below $36,482 for a household of two.
That's correct. Yeah, okay. It follows that 185% of the federal poverty guidelines.
Gotcha. Yeah, so that's obviously not super high incomes, but people kind of combine those coupons if you're two individuals. I mean, I guess you have to. How does that work? Is there a way to combine that to maximize the benefit you're getting?
So what's really nice about this program is that each individual in each household that is eligible can receive coupons. So if you have a household of two people that make combined underneath that 36, I think it was 36,000 that you had mentioned, each person can apply separately. So then they would actually end up getting a total of $100 for that entire household to be able to spend at the markets.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. That can stretch your dollar a whole lot farther.
Yes.
Again, I want to remind our listeners that we are talking about options for low-income seniors in Southwest Ohio to get access to fresh fruits and vegetables that they otherwise can't afford. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk@wvxu.org. Jennifer, let's talk more about the health risks associated with eating less healthy food if you're an older adult. What kind of problems can people run into?
Well, certainly some of that also is healing. So if someone, their nutrition is poor and they do sustain some type of an injury or an issue, or they're recovering from some type of illness, if your nutrition status is not that good, that can certainly make it even harder for an older adult or someone to heal from those types of things. And also in terms of just your cognition, your being able to have the energy that you need and you want to go about your daily tasks, to keep up a house, to do those types of things. Certainly nutrition can play a big part of that for older adults in particular.
And what about for chronic conditions? I'm thinking things like diabetes or heart disease. I mean, I have to imagine fresh fruits and vegetables are really important to maintaining your health.
Absolutely. And it's certainly, if you think about the diets that we receive from our physicians, you know, low cholesterol and looking at, you know, lower salt and all of those types of diets, it can cost money to eat that way. And to be able to really get those fresh fruits that you need and the fresh foods to help you do all of that. So it is definitely related to our chronic disease. We want people to eat better, to be able to feel better for those types of things.
But Natasha, before we began the show, you told me that you had been a nurse or you worked in an ICU.
I worked in an ICU as a registered dietitian.
As a registered dietitian. Okay, so you're like the food expert there. I'm sorry that I said nurse. That was the wrong thing.
No, that's okay.
But I imagine you have to see the impact of fresh foods and now it's certainly in your job, but even before in the ICU. What was your experience just with seeing the difference that healthy food really made for people?
Well, it was also very difficult in the ICU because most of my patients, they didn't have an appetite. They didn't want to eat. They didn't feel well, you know, and a lot of the focus was on making sure you get enough calories and protein into your diet. But there was a lot of moments, too, where I had counseling for people with diabetes or people with pressure ulcers, like Jennifer had mentioned, and healing, you know, like post-surgical diet and like kind of what you need to be focusing on eating when you get home. But then I also had a lot of patients that were on ventilators. Mm. So I did a lot with tube feedings and TPNs as well. Mm. But in terms of people in the ICU, you know, the ones that got the adequate calories and the ones that got the adequate protein, you know, were able to heal and get home, you know, better. Those that weren't suffering from malnutrition. You would see typically people that were suffering from malnutrition would they would be discharged from the hospital and then turn around and come right back because, you know, they weren't able to adequately keep up with, you know, the nutritional needs that they required. So, you know, it makes a big difference to get the nutrition in that you need, especially if you're trying to heal and you're in the hospital.
Yeah, such an important point. We're going to continue our conversation in just a moment, and later in the program, we'll talk about training that aims to help Cincinnati police officers improve their interactions with people who have dementia, Alzheimer's, and autism. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about options for low-income seniors in Southwest Ohio to get access to fresh fruits and vegetables that they otherwise struggle to afford. My guests are Miami University Scripps Gerontology Center Associate Director of Research and Senior Research Scholar Jennifer Heston Mullins, PhD, and Council on Aging of Southwestern Ohio Nutrition Business Relations Partner Natasha Webker. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk@wvxu.org. And we especially want to hear from you if you're a senior who's been fighting those rising grocery bills and wondering how to make ends meet, or if you've got family members who have been struggling with this inflation that we're all experiencing. So, Natasha, I want to make sure we get into the details of how this Senior Farmers Market Nutrition Program works. You mentioned people get the coupons. Where can people shop? Tell us about some of these markets.
So before I go into the markets, I do want to touch on how we were starting with distribution events during the months of April and May. Mm-hmm. We will have one more distribution event left, which is going to be at Coleraine Senior Center on May the 25th.
Okay.
And I believe that's from 11 to 1 p.m. And it's also going to be during their wellness fair. So if you want to try to get coupons in person, you can come on out to that event. Once that event has concluded, then we will be opening up an online application starting on June 1st, where seniors or their family members can go and put in an application, and then they can receive their coupons in the mail. And that would be at www.help4seniors.org. If you have difficulty accessing a computer or having a family member help you out with that, you're always welcome to call Council on Aging and someone can assist you. But once you apply and you get your coupon vouchers, you do get a list of participating farmers markets throughout all five of our counties, and you're welcome to shop at any of those farmers markets. Now, you'll notice the farmers markets that are participating, they'll have a sign out in front of their booth that tells you that they accept the coupons. And then within that list, you can also find the hours and locations of these farmers markets that you can go to. Again, the eligible products are fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, fresh cut herbs, and honey. So unfortunately, you can't use your coupons on like flowers or meat or crafts or anything like that. So we're really trying to get, you know, the fresh fruits and vegetables in there. We're always looking to try to onboard more farmers as well. So if we have any farmers listening that do not know about this program, please contact us at the Council on Aging and I can assist you in getting onboarded to accept these coupon vouchers to help our community seniors have more places to shop.
I have a question for you about that last sign-up time you mentioned on the 25th. Mm-hmm. Is that if somebody, say, that's in Coleraine Township, I think you said, which is in Hamilton County, but what if somebody from Butler County hears, oh my gosh, I just heard about this and I qualify, maybe I can get a ride. Can people from other counties still sign up at that event on the 25th?
Yes. Okay. Anybody from any county can sign up at any one of the events.
Okay, mm-hmm. Great to know. And was there, I know you were trying to think of something there, and I interrupted you to ask that question. Did it pop into your head? Was there something else you wanted to mention?
No, I think that that's pretty much everything that I wanted to touch on in terms of shopping at the farmers markets. And also a lot of times, too, I will add that, you know, some of these farmers markets don't know that we exist or this program exists. So sometimes I like to tell, you know, our participating older adults, you know, if you know of a farmer or a farm market, you know, give them a little poke, tell them, call us. You know, we would be happy to help them get onboarded with the program.
Right. Jennifer, when I was reading up on different articles preparing for this, I was reading about some of the coping mechanisms that older adults are using to stretch their food budgets a little bit. I wonder, is there any little bit of a silver lining maybe with this in terms of less food waste? Do you find that some people are buying only what they know they can eat before it spoils, you know, and kind of making the most of that?
Yes, I think so. And also, we are finding that there are some more options in the grocery stores for folks to have, you know, like a half loaf of bread and sometimes smaller portioned things in the grocery stores that work better for someone if you're living alone and maybe just cooking for one or preparing meals for one. So I think there are definitely people who talk about getting smaller sizes of things. These are not typically folks that are going to be, you know, shopping in the Costco's or the really large bulk areas. They're really using those dollars to pick things that they know they can consume and that will last for a while for them as well.
And what are some of the other ways, Jennifer, that seniors can really reduce their food costs and still eat healthy? Are there other tips or advice that you can offer?
We've actually seen some folks who have done some meal sharing. So maybe they've connected with a neighbor or some folks that live close to them, or maybe they've connected with friends and have started cooking with each other and sharing some meals. And this also helps with some of the socialization and some loneliness and isolation that sometimes older people feel. It's not as much fun to prepare food for one. So we certainly have circumstances where people have worked together, and if they have things to share with each other, if something's not gonna last for very much longer, they might connect with someone else and share with them.
Is that something you hear about at the Council on Aging? People kind of putting together meal teams or groups, folks sharing?
Well, first I want to say, Jennifer, that is a fantastic comment, and you're exactly right. And I think that that's an excellent way to help with social isolation. It is difficult to cook for one. I remember when I was living on my own, I found it difficult just to cook for myself. I didn't see a reason to. So I definitely think that that is something that is very helpful with social isolation. And it is something that we do typically will see from time to time in the Council on Aging. We will have, you know, programs also dedicated towards social isolation and helping to minimize social isolation. And, you know, from talking to some of my older adults, you know, that live, you know, in the senior buildings, you know, they like to share their meals, you know, because they feel like, you know, if I'm not going to be able to eat it, someone else can. So, you know, there's a lot of community and helping one another that is really inspiring.
Yeah. Well, and I think when some people hear about sharing meals, they think of programs like Meals on Wheels and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. Is that something that Council on Aging oversees in Southwest Ohio? Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. So we have our home delivered meal program as well as our congregate meal program as well. And we have a number of providers throughout, you know, the five counties that do provide these services for our older adults. And, you know, it's extremely helpful for them, you know, to get a fresh meal or be able to go to a congregate site again and be able to congregate with that community and to help minimize that social isolation. So, yeah, those are fantastic programs the Council on Aging does.
Yeah. Jennifer, I'm sorry, were you going to add something there?
Yeah, I was just going to say that and our congregate meal site here, we're in Butler County, our local senior center certainly has congregate meals. They have meal delivery, but they also host potlucks. And so people in the community who are members of the senior center and others can come together and share food with each other. Again, adding a social aspect to that, which is so important when you're wanting someone to, you know, the more we eat and chat with each other, we tend to eat a little bit more when we're with other people and increase those calories a little. And sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes it's not, but in this situation, we want that to happen for folks. So yeah, the potlucks that they've hosted have been very popular as well.
Jennifer, where does that funding come from for things like Meals on Wheels? I know that's a little bit outside of what we started talking about, but we talked about how some SNAP benefits were decreased for people just a few months ago. What is funding looking like for these programs like Meals on Wheels that are so important to people?
Well, the Older Americans Act actually funds multiple nutrition services, and they have a nutrition program as well. And so some of that is dedicated towards the congregate meals that Natasha mentioned, and some of that is also dedicated to home-delivered meals. And there are many senior service providers across the country that utilize Older Americans Act funding for those services. It falls under Title III of the Older Americans Act.
Has that funding been pretty steady as far as you know, Natasha or Jennifer, or is that, I don't know if that's had some of the same ups and downs that some SNAP funding and some of these other funding sources have had?
So our congregate meal is actually the one that receives that ODA Title III funding, whereas our home-delivered meals, it's under the Elderly Services Program, and that money actually comes from our county levies.
Okay.
So, you know, at certain times of the year, you might see us standing out on a street corner with some signs. Yeah. I know we recently did that for Hamilton County, and, you know, we passed that. I mean, it was an amazing sight to see, but we were able to pass that levy and get those funds to be able to continue these programs for these older adults. So yeah, there's a few different funding buckets that it comes through. So, you know, we just want to thank everybody, you know, for voting so we can continue these wonderful programs.
Right. So Natasha, you had mentioned older adults getting help from family members to get on the computer and get those coupons. I wonder, can older adults get help from family members or have a designated shopper if they have trouble themselves getting to these farmers markets once they have the coupons?
That's a fantastic question. And yes, as part of the application process, we do have where there's a question of, are you shopping for yourself or do you want to designate an authorized shopper for you? And sometimes the authorized shopper or that family member actually comes out and helps apply for them. So then they can designate themselves as the authorized shopper as well. So yes, they're more than welcome to have someone go shopping for them if they have trouble with transportation or just trouble getting out and about.
Okay. Well, I want to let you, one more time, Natasha, give us the information about the sign-up event that's happening a little later this week.
Yep. So on this Thursday at the Coleraine Senior Center, which is also the YMCA, we're having our last coupon distribution event of the season. And I believe that is from 11 to 1 p.m. don't quote me on that. It's also on the website, the exact time that we'll be there. It's during their health fair. And then starting June 1st, we will have the application live on our website for you to apply.
Okay. Well, I've been talking with Miami University Scripps Gerontology Center Associate Director of Research and Senior Research Scholar Jennifer Heston Mullins, PhD, and Council on Aging of Southwestern Ohio Nutrition Business Relations Partner Natasha Webker. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Oh, thank you, Lucy.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's been great. Up next, we'll hear about special training that aims to help Cincinnati police officers improve their interactions with people who have dementia, Alzheimer's, and autism. This is Cincinnati Edition.